Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien. Welcome, dear humans, to Level Up Human Extra. I am Simon Watt. I'm your host for the regular Level Up Human. And now we're behind the scenes in our amazing recording studio, by which I mean Rachel's front room, joined by producer Rachel Wheely.
Hello.
Hello, Rachel.
Hi.
We're doing these until we basically get money and funding to go back on the road again and talk to experts. So rather than talking to experts, I'm talking to Rachel. And that was not as meant to be as insulting sounding as that actually was.
That's okay. I mean, I wouldn't claim to be an expert, so I'm not going to be upset by that. But we've got quite an interesting thing to talk about today.
Yeah, well, I claim to be an expert and nobody's noticed otherwise since, so it's okay.
I think you secretly are.
Fake it till you make it now. Fake it till you make it now. We've got, we're delving into the sort of behind the scenes of the newest science stories that have been happening right now. And Rachel, it looks like both you and I came together with the same one. We've been reading an article in Wired, which is basically about exactly the kind of stuff I like. Do you want to take it away? Explain to our audience what this is.
Yes, so this is about how we could soon be eliminating entire species using CRISPR technology.
Yeah, like, by the way, for an optimistic podcast about the future, to start with something that sounds an awful lot like an extinction drive sounds weird, but it's kind of fantastic.
Well, I think we struggle to convince anyone that our podcast is optimistic, yet it is, really.
Yeah.
Just that we tend to talk about the apocalypse a lot, that's all.
Well, yes, I suppose. But this is one I really, really like. So I suppose we have to tell everybody, first of all, if you don't know what CRISPR is, we should start there. And the quickest, easiest way of thinking about it is it's sort of like a genetic tool that we've nicked from some bacteria and allows the kind of gene editing power that was in sci-fi films maybe, 20, 30 years ago. And they're hoping that they can perhaps apply this to species that are mucking around where they shouldn't be. Now, I don't want to sound all UKIP-y or anything like that, but invasive species in some places are doing massive harm and driving species to extinction. So getting rid of things like cats and rats and mice and things like on islands like New Zealand is going to help the indigenous wildlife a great deal.
One fact I found out while I was reading about this, which I find quite interesting, is that it's a particular problem on islands, particularly because mostly we brought the invasive species to the islands on boats.
Yeah.
And there are 465,000 islands on Earth, which are home to 41% of endangered land vertebrates.
True.
So these are creatures which have sort of like got a bit lazy in terms of their evasive manoeuvres, because they didn't need any evasive manoeuvres for years and years and years. So they've started laying eggs on the ground. They've stopped being able to fly. But basically, they've got a Sky subscription. They're just binge watching Netflix. They're ordering Uber Eats. They've become completely infantilized, as we city dwellers are particularly prone to. And so rats and similar species like that can just completely wipe them out.
I like the phrase evolutionarily complacent.
Yes.
I think that's what they've got.
That's exactly it.
And one of the famous examples that you can first think of is everybody knows about the dodo. And the dodo died out in about 1662. My favourite thing about the dodo dying out, though, is that it was 20 years before we even noticed. and about two centuries before it was formally acknowledged, because at that point in history, people thought only God could create and destroy. The notion that we were powerful enough to wipe something out was seen to be absurd. But good news, humans, we are that powerful. We can cause a mass extinction. Yay?
Well, we're going to have to be careful. We're going to have to be very, very careful with that. But I do kind of think like this potentially could be better than what they're doing at the moment. So this article that we both read is about a guy called Carl Campbell, whose job is to eliminate pest species from islands. And his methods of doing so are really quite dangerous for indigenous species that they don't want to knock out. So there's an example of how they rounded up all the hawks on Pinzon Island. I don't know how to pronounce that. Pinzon Island in the Galapagos. They rounded up 60 hawks and kept them safe while they poisoned the rats that lived on the island.
Yeah.
They then released the hawks back onto the island and found that they were dying because they had been eating the larva lizards, which had been eating the rats.
Yes.
So this is the problem, is that it's never quite as simple as just kind of poisoning all the thing that you want to get rid of. There can be ongoing repercussions.
This is the problem of ecology, basically, is whenever you hear of a food web, it is a proper web. And I always hate talking about ecology because it makes me sound like such a hippie. Because it is literally saying everything's interconnected, man.
Yeah, but it is, though.
Yeah, I know, but it's just sort of so annoying. Like, because I'm, you know, a scientist and rationalist and everything, but this is one of those places where suddenly you're in there, you've got to love your planet.
Well, bringing it back to ludicrous reality, I was also reading in this article about Matahari goats, because so one of the things that Carl Campbell has been doing to get rid of goats infesting various islands is bringing sexually receptive lady goats to lure the male goats out of hiding, and then he attacks them all with a machine gun, essentially, from a helicopter.
That's sounding. I'm just imagining the sort of the Wagner-esque Apocalypse Now music playing over footage of a goat massacre.
Yeah, this is pretty bleak.
This is very necessary. Okay, that's the thing we can all agree on. The pretty much getting rid of invasive species is one of those things that people are really trying for. So perhaps using new genetic techniques might make these things more efficient. The one that really pleases me is that New Zealand government last year announced that they were going to be the world first and trying to make their whole nation predator-free by 2050. So they're trying to get rid of all the rats and all things like those goats and return New Zealand to its pre-Western colonialist biodiversity, I guess.
Aside from the major predators that it hasn't mentioned, which would be people.
I don't know if you can call those predators if you're not hunting. Well, you know, farming might be one of those sort of things that's a bit different.
I mean, Carl Campbell's a predator, isn't he? He doesn't live on New Zealand, of course, but...
Yeah, but okay. So after you get rid of all the rats and mice and things, they've already done this in some islands. And I heard a news report of this the other week. And the thing that was astounding was they just basically took out their microphones and listened to the bird life and compared these two islands. And the one where they got rid of all the rats... So loud. That is one of the things, my favourite things about it, again, sort of biology, is that people think of nature as being quiet and serene. But if you go somewhere truly wild, it's nature is shouting at you.
Yeah, it's a cacophony. It is quite a nice idea to think that in 1805 we dumped a load of rats accidentally on an island that we were visiting by boat, and that we're now going back to correct that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess also the thing would be they'd argue that this makes economic sense as well. If you're going to be throwing everything you can at saving something like a kiwi, okay, and there's, what, less than 70,000 kiwis in the world right now, and 20 die a week because of rats and cats and the like.
Mm.
The amount of money they're throwing at that anyhow, you may as well throw it in the right direction and get rid of all your pests.
And rats eat the eggs as well, presumably. So yeah. It might be 20 adults, but they're presumably also, like, damaging the chances of that species successfully reproducing.
Yeah, so the kiwi is kind of doomed for those reasons. For starters, the world's largest flightless parrot. Its response if it sees a predator is to freeze. You know, so it's basically making itself, ready. And what makes it even worse is apparently they smell kind of oaty. So, like, if a rat's something that likes a bit of porridge in the morning, a kiwi's probably a perfect breakfast.
Delicious.
Yeah. So, how's the CRISPR going to work, though?
Well, the thing about CRISPR is, as you said, it's kind of like a cut-and-paste system for genes and genomes. So you can very precisely make a change to a gene. And the thing about gene drives is that it alters the natural way that things work, which is that if there's lots of different types of genes, the offspring of a species has a 50% chance of inheriting the mum version or the dad version. However, if you have a gene drive version, the gene basically hijacks that process, and the offspring has a virtually 100% chance of inheriting that particular version of the gene, which means that you can flood a species with this gene. Mm. And if that gene is infertility, then you can wipe it out.
So I think they call it driving to fixation. So the idea is that the entire population starts to carry these one sets of genes. The places where people have really been looking into this is not just stuff of getting rid of species, but getting rid of diseases as a result. So a long time ago, whenever the sort of big epidemic of Zika first hit South America. Zika is a virus that's been around and known about for over 50 years now, but it really kicked off and went bad back during the Olympics there in Brazil. And people started noticing this virus spreading all around the place. And generally, even then, people were looking at these gene drivers as a way possibly of wiping out the mosquitoes. The reasons why they haven't gone ahead with it is, for a start, this technology is not perfected and is not checked out yet. CRISPR is also, though it's more precise than anything we've had so far, it's still not a precision tool, and it may well have other consequences that we don't fully understand yet. And the most important one is probably there are still better and easier and cheaper ways of limiting mosquitoes rather than trying something as risky as a genetic driver. I mean, you know, basically avoiding having open pools of water and a little bit of water etiquette, and even things as nasty as DTT are probably still more efficient at this point. Wiping out these species is not just a matter of protecting wildlife, it's a matter of protecting human health. Would you be sad to say goodbye to a mosquito?
Well, no, I wouldn't, but I suppose I'm just naturally a little bit nervous about this sort of thing. Like, are there unintended consequences of it that we might be able to...
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Think about?
I reckon so. But depends what those are. Like, so the first one that comes up for things like mosquitoes, people say, well, mosquitoes are bound to have a use. And they probably do, but the ones that spread diseases like malaria and dengue and yellow fever and Zika and things like that in South America are species that shouldn't be there in the first place. So the malaria mosquito, that's Anopheles, which is from the Greek, a fantastic name meaning useless. So even the Greeks used to think the Anopheles mosquito was useless. There's about 460 species of this mosquito, and as far as I know, none of them are native to South America. So this is an example of an invasive species that we took with us, and we carried the diseases that it took with us as well. And as a result, it's killed so many people. The Zika virus, that's mostly transmitted by the AD genus of mosquitoes. And again, they don't belong there. They're species that shouldn't be in South America in the first place. They're a bit different to the malaria ones because they come out and bite during the day as well. But these things spread diseases. They will kill people. And therefore, I think we should kill them first.
So could it be that we only discover what their critical use in the ecosystem was when we've destroyed them completely?
That is very, very possible. But when we talk about critical, there's hundreds and hundreds of other species of mosquitoes. So there are other ones which will swoop in and fill those empty niches. It could even be that this mosquito is keeping the native mosquito, which is adapted to that environment, kind of suppressed.
Yeah.
So maybe even environmentally, this might be better in that case as well.
So a good news story.
A good news story that we're not doing. Okay, because this is what we're talking about. That we're talking about using CRISPR and stuff as a way of wiping out species like this. I suppose we're arguing now that maybe the intention to wipe out a species is good enough to begin with. And if we're talking about unintended consequences, one of the other things we have to remember is that invasive species are not invasive everywhere. So what if, for instance, these drivers get somehow out of control, like you transport a rat from New Zealand back to Europe, and suddenly nowhere's got any rats anymore? Would that have a major impact? Would that be detrimental? I imagine it would be somewhere in the ecosystem.
Yeah, and there's a thing in this article about how a small number of animals with the altered genome could actually have a very large effect on the ecosystem.
Yeah, I think it is, even if it takes a little bit of time. Like, so these things will work to fixation eventually. Everybody will end up having these genes. And the guy they're talking about here, Kevin Esbold, I actually met at a conference in Google.
Did you?
In San Francisco a couple of years ago. And I heard him talking about one of the projects that he's discussing in this Wired article. And I have to admit, I just find him to be a deeply fascinating and interesting man. And I felt really kind of disappointed with the discussion that I ended up having in this conference, because roughly half the people were seeing the potential of this and thought it was amazing, and the other half were seeing this as just being inherently destructive and awful, and that you shouldn't wipe out anything deliberately ever. So it really split the room down these very, very thick lines. And it also meant that people were attacking him, and people are using these techniques for not consulting the public, forgetting that is entirely what he was doing at that precise moment, and trying to talk about these and these things, see what is possible, see what people's concerns were. The project that he was talking about then, and the one which I think is so fascinating as a trial, is to try and stop Lyme disease on Nantucket Island in Massachusetts. And they're hoping there to use basically a gene drive to wipe out local susceptible mice by swamping them with these mice that are engineered to be Lyme and tick resistant, basically. They hope that then these resistance genes will spread enough through the population to stop people dying of this.
Mm.
I can't see anything wrong with the intention.
No, there's nothing wrong with the intention. It's just what happens if it goes wrong. CRISPR does occasionally go wrong.
Yeah.
Mutations still happen, and we don't entirely 100% understand what the implications of CRISPR mutations are.
Yeah, that's very fair to say. But the other thing is that there's a cost to not doing this kind of intervention. People are going to die of Lyme disease. People are going to contract these diseases, and the cycle will spread on over time. Moreover, though, if we're trying to control the populations, like we're talking about killing rats earlier, one of the main ways is using warfarin. So basically, you're given something which means that the rats will bleed to death over several days. Arguably, this fast and efficient method, if it's killing species, is cheaper, easier, and perhaps more humane. Or if it's just making them immune to diseases like Lyme disease and the ticks that bite them, then yeah.
Yeah, and it's the guy whose job is to eliminate species from islands who is the most enthusiastic proponent of gene drives. He's the one actually dropping thousands and thousands of pellets onto inhabited islands.
Yeah.
And very concerned about the effect on the ecosystems and also small children who might pick up these pellets. But it seems to be the only way that they can do it at the moment. So I'm completely with you that these things appear to be a really good idea. But I have also noticed that gene editing has been added to the list of threats posed by weapons of mass destruction. So it's just, and one thing which concerns me a little bit is that if they make a mistake with this, and when I say they, it could be any people, it could actually just be like an independent company doing something, having an effect on an ecosystem to the point where huge amounts of trust in scientists is lost.
Yeah.
So
That's one of the things Kevin was really worried about.
It's got to be really carefully regulated, and the reality is it's not going to be.
Well, I don't know about that, actually, because basically because of human paranoia, and think of all the paranoia that resulted from GM foods entering the food chain, the world is pretty hot on genetic engineering in terms of watching it and being careful of it. The other good news is that if they are trying these things out on small islands to begin with, they are inherently isolated to an extent. So if you're going to do an experiment, an island is probably the best place to start.
Except that it's been shown before that these things move around because humans move around. I mean, the humans who introduced the invasive species onto the islands didn't do that deliberately. The rats were just on the boats.
Yes and no. So whenever we talk about things like goats and pigs and whatnot, they were very often just introduced fairly deliberately. They were shoved out because there was something else to eat.
Well, you're not going to have a stowaway pig, are you? I mean,
that would be a brilliant movie. I would watch that. Actually, that's probably what the next Babe
that
movie
nearly,
actually is.
Nearly happened in Moana.
I haven't seen Moana.
Moana is a brilliant children's film that has a soundtrack written by the guys behind Hamilton. And it has Dwayne Johnson as the Rock Johnson. As a demigod character, which is it's one of my favourite films of all time. Anyway, but it's got, bearing in mind, I only get to watch films that my children have picked. So,
yes.
But it's got a pig which tries to stow away on a raft. Anyway, I feel I'm not for the first time derailing this conversation. There is an idea, and I don't really understand this well enough, but there is an idea that it might be possible to put a limit on the amount of times that these edited genomes can be passed down.
Yeah, this is the daisy chaining thing. I don't fully understand how this works, but it seems to involve it's almost like you need multiple instructions for the gene to switch on and kick in. Does that sound right?
Yes, or you need to have an exact sequence of genes in order for the genome to work, the edit to work.
Again, some of the really fascinating things about this is it amounts to precision. So if we're getting what these people who are hoping to wipe out rats on islands are hoping, is that if they look at the local population of rats, because there's been what you call a finder effect, they're all descended from that first highly fecund rat that landed there.
We always transport the fecund ones.
We do. But it means that they should actually have a limited gene pool. So a rat on an island is more likely to be related to all the other rats on the island than the rats on a neighbouring island. So this means that there might be some kind of genetic markers, that there might be some way of tailoring these gene drivers to only work on that island and nowhere else. Think of it like a safety mechanism. Now, this does hark back to some great sci-fi films of the late 1990s. I can't even remember which ones, but I do remember there was a sci-fi discussion of what if you could make a plague effectively
racist.
Yes. So what if we could find gene markers in humans? That means that you'd only wipe out. Oh, Utopia tried something similar. Did you ever see Utopia Channel 4's?
No, I didn't.
So it was a thing which was trying to make everybody infertile and a plague that would wipe out tons and tons of people. But it wouldn't work on everybody. Basically, anybody who had a Romani gypsy descent would be the only humans left alive because they thought that was a small enough population to repopulate the planet. It's quite a good series. And by the way, I should have said spoilers alert, but you know, it was yours back. It's your own fault.
It's kind of a given.
It's on a box set.
With this program. I would actually love to hear from people who either know a bit more about this or have strong opinions on this. Please You can tweet us at LevelUpHuman. You have precisely 240 characters to make your succinct point about this. Let us know what you think. Well, would you be in favour of gene drives or not, and why?
Ireland might get its snakes back.
Ireland might get its snakes back. There you go. There you go. See, this is... We're fixing up your space program. We're bringing your snakes back. It's all good. That's about it for this episode, I think. Let us know what you think about gene drives. Tweet us at LevelUpHuman. And if you want to see Simon and I doing live stand-up comedy about conservation, you can do that Friday the 23rd of March.
Yeah, we'll be at the Huxley Theatre at London Zoo as a special event for Earthwatch. So come on down.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.